A drunk driver loses control of his car and careens headfirst into a van, killing a family. A mother dies of breast cancer, leaving confused children and a grieving husband. An infant boy succumbs to a birth defect. A gentle, elderly lady dies quietly in her sleep. A desperate, depressed teenager commits suicide. These are the stories that fill your daily newspaper obituary column. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Where are our loved ones who have passed on? Will we ever see them again? What happens to us after we die? This is the second of the two most important questions we all face. What is the purpose of life, and what happens after death? Maybe death wouldn't seem so horrifying if we simply knew we somehow live beyond the grave, but death seems so arbitrary, so unfair. We push the reality of our own mortality to the deepest recesses of the mind until we're at a funeral, or we read about the death of a celebrity, or the doctor tells us that our illness is terminal. Then we're faced with a reality none of us can escape. Science can't answer the question, and religion seems to supply a never-ending array of ideas. Traditional Christianity teaches that a person possesses an immortal soul that leaves the body at death and goes to heavenly bliss or eternal damnation. Reincarnation is becoming more popular in the Western world, and the theory of evolution has left many believing that man is just a higher form of animal, and at death we simply cease to exist. What does the Bible say about death? In the second segment of today's program, we're going to interview a co-author of a booklet that challenges the traditional Christian viewpoint of the immortal soul. Now, just how did the immortal soul doctrine become central to Christianity's understanding of human life and death? All human beings have an inner need to know that life has purpose and that death isn't the final answer. Most religions believe in some kind of afterlife. The ancient Egyptians formed elaborate ceremonies in preparing the pharaohs for their life after death. Many historians see the pyramids of Egypt as nothing more than giant tombs filled with luxuries the royalty would need in the hereafter. The Times of London makes this report on an exhibition of ancient Chinese burial artifacts in the British Museum. Quote, "If the Chinese had not believed so passionately in the spirit world and the afterlife, they would never have ensured that their tombs carried such resplendent cargoes. The wealth of refined bronzes, jades, and ceramics installed there testifies to the importance of their faith in life after death." Now, the immortality of man's soul was an important aspect of Greek philosophy espoused by the ancient philosophers of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. Socrates speaks of death, quote, "Is it not the separation of soul and body? And to be dead is the completion of this, when the soul exists in herself, and is released from the body, and body is released from the soul. What is this but death?" There was controversy in early Christian history over the doctrine of the immortal soul. Origen, who lived in the 2nd and 3rd centuries A.D., was the first to attempt to organize Christian teachings into a doctrinal system. Now he writes, quote, "The soul, having a substance and life of its own, shall after its departure from the world be rewarded according to its deserts, or to be delivered up to eternal fire and punishments, if the guilt of its crimes shall have brought it down to this," unquote. Later in history, Augustine tackles the problem of the immortality of the soul in death. For Augustine, death means the destruction of the body, but the conscious soul continues to live in either a blissful state with God or an agonized state of separation from God. In The City of God, he writes that the soul, quote, "is therefore called immortal because, in a sense, it does not cease to live and to feel, while the body is called mortal because it can be forsaken of all life and cannot by itself live at all." We can't underestimate the influences of Platonic philosophy upon Origen and Augustine. Richard Tarnas, in his bestseller, The Passion of the Western Mind, puts great emphasis on this influence. He writes, "It was Augustine's formulation of Christian Platonism that was to permeate virtually all of medieval Christian thought in the West. So enthusiastic was the Christian integration of the Greek spirit that Socrates and Plato were frequently regarded as divinely inspired pre-Christian saints, unquote. The leaders of the Protestant Reformation generally accepted the Orthodox position, and for the most part, few Christians have ever questioned this basic teaching. The immortality of the soul is foundational in Western thought, both philosophical and religious. But does the Bible teach that death is the conscious separation of body and soul? Now, before you jump to too quick a conclusion, maybe it's time you looked into what the Bible really says about this subject. No one in the New Testament wrote more about the state of the dead than the Apostle Paul, and he describes death as sleep. Actually, the term immortal soul appears nowhere in the Bible, but the Scriptures do have much to say about immortality. Paul tells the Romans to seek immortality. Why must we seek immortality if it's something we already possess? He teaches the church at Corinth that they must change and put on immortality. Paul claims that only God and His Son, Jesus Christ, possess immortality and that eternal life is a gift from God. Go get a Bible and follow along. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:20, quote, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." In 1 Thessalonians, he writes, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Paul equates faith in the resurrection of Jesus with faith in a future resurrection from the dead. Now, what is the difference between believing in a resurrection from the dead and the concept of the immortal soul? You know, the most powerful words come from Jesus himself. Recorded in the Gospel of John, he says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What does Jesus mean by that statement? What does he mean when he says, "I will raise him up at the last day"? And it's not just in the New Testament. Writers of the Old Testament make statements that appear to contradict the common teaching of the immortal soul. King David in Psalm 6:5 laments that death extinguishes a conscious relationship with God when he writes, "For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks?" And he's speaking of God. What is then the state of the dead? What about reported life-after-death experiences? We'll discuss these and other important questions about death with the co-author of a booklet, What Happens After Death, right after these messages.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? Or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Do we go to a place of everlasting reward or eternal punishment? Will we ever see our deceased loved ones again? Is there somewhere you can go to find these answers? Yes, there is. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death. Find out the astonishing, true biblical teaching about life after death in our enlightening 64-page booklet. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. All material on this program is provided as a public service by the United Church of God, publishers of the Good News magazine. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Today we have with us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Don Henson, who is co-author of What Happens After Death. And Don, I'd like to thank you for being on the program once again.
Thank you, Gary. My privilege to be here.
Now, in the booklet, you approach the intriguing and frightening subject of the afterlife and with this statement, "To understand death, we need to first consider what is life. Now, how would you answer that question?
Well, I think we take away much of the fear of the afterlife when we understand what life is. Life is God's gift. God is the creator. God is the source of all life. And at this point, God has given us a life that is temporary or mortal and a life that ends in death. But when we understand that his purpose in creating mankind is to ultimately give us eternal life, then, as I said, there's less fear of what happens at the point of death. When we understand that the purpose of life is to prepare us for eternal life, then it gives us a sense of direction and a sense of purpose. And then when we understand that at the end of this life, what happens at the end of this life, that death does not really mean continuing to live in some other strange and undefined place, then we don't have to fear what happens at death.
Now, in the booklet, you state that the Old Testament writers, or what we call the Old Testament, had quite a different view of what is the soul than what is common today. How is it that what is written in the Old Testament differs from what is commonly taught in most Christian churches?
Well, most Christians would think or believe that the soul is eternal, that the soul continues to live after the physical body dies. But the Hebrew word that's translated into the English word soul is nephesh, and it simply means a breathing creature. The same word in the Hebrew is used to describe both animal and human life. The creation account tells us that God created man and that man is a soul, not that man has a soul. So, in other words, it's clear that our soul is not some immortal aspect or some spiritual element of our existence. The soul is simply what we are. Further, the Old Testament says that a soul can die, so that life can be terminated or comes to an end. So I guess we ask then, well, what does it mean to die? Well, again, the common understanding is that death means a separation of our soul from our body, and that our consciousness somehow continues to even after we've died. However, the Old Testament clearly again says that when a person dies, there is no consciousness, that his thoughts, that his mental, his mind ceases to function, and he simply perishes and does not exist any longer. So the Old Testament tells a very different story, or gives a very different account from what most people believe.
But did Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament reveal something different?
No, absolutely not. The New Testament is very consistent with the Old Testament. Peter, in Acts 2, says of David that he is dead and buried and has not ascended into the heavens. In 1 Corinthians, Paul compares death to sleep. He says that the resurrection, there in 1 Corinthians 15, he says the resurrection occurs in the twinkling of an eye, or maybe we would put it in the blink of an eye. Paul's point is that those who have died are not aware of the passing of time. So in just that instant, or in a blink of an eye, the resurrection will come.
Now, anyone who has read the Bible knows that there's two terms used. There's soul and spirit. Now, is there a difference between these two terms?
Yes, there is, Gary, and it actually is the source of a good deal of confusion. We've talked about soul. The soul is the fact, is our life. It is if we're described as a living being or a breathing creature, and that's what the word soul means. The Bible also speaks of spirit in a couple of different ways. First of all, Paul refers to the spirit in man in 1 Corinthians 2. He says that it is by this spirit that man is able to understand physical concepts. It is that spirit that we have that distinguishes people from animals. So God has given us, as we are created in his image, that higher level of understanding, that higher level of a mind, so that we have an understanding of physical concepts. Furthermore, Paul says in that same context that we require the Holy Spirit, which is the presence and the power of God, in order to have spiritual understanding. So there certainly is a spirit and there is a soul, but the word soul does not describe us as being an immortal being. It is used to describe our life, and the word spirit is the consciousness that God gives to us and his presence in our lives in a much different way.
Well, where did the immortal soul concept come from then?
Well, the teaching of the immortal soul can be traced backwards throughout time. We see it in early church history. The Christian church adopted that belief from Greek philosophy. You can trace it back into the ancient Babylonian religion and even before that in ancient Egyptian religion. But frankly, Gary, the real origin goes back to the Garden of Eden. God told Adam and Eve that if they ate of the wrong tree, that they would die. Satan said to Eve, "You will not die." Eve chose to believe Satan rather than God. Satan deceived Eve into thinking that that tree would be good to eat of and that she would not die if she ate from it. That same deception continues today. Most people, frankly, believe Satan instead of God.
Have you ever wondered about life after death experiences? That's just one of the subjects we'll hit on in the next segment, so don't go away.
Why does modern Christianity teach that you have an immortal soul that has eternally existed when Jesus taught the opposite, that you don't have an eternal soul and can be dead forever? Find out the astonishing true teachings about life after death in our free 64-page booklet, What Happens After Death? Call 1-800-966-9232. Most of Christianity says you will go to either heaven or hell, while Jesus never said any such thing. Call now 1-800-966-9232 for your free booklet, What Happens After Death? See the hundreds of scriptures never quoted by most religions today. They reveal a picture unlike what most have come to believe about life after death. There is no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy of What Happens After Death, 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're back on Telephone Hookup with Don Henson, co-author of What Happens After Death. Now, Don, if the Bible really teaches that a person does not exist consciously after death, then is there any hope of any kind of afterlife?
Well, Gary, that's the whole point. You know, we talked earlier about how that life is God's gift and that God's purpose in giving us life is to ultimately give us eternal life. So when we look at what we've talked about so far, we see that it almost comes down to a matter of logic. The Bible says that we cease to exist at the time that we die, but it also promises to us eternal life. So the only answer is that there must be life after death. As I said before, God reveals to us that that's his point. He wants us to live forever, and the Bible is filled with the promises of life after death. John 3:16, one of the golden scriptures of Christianity, tells us that whoever believes on Jesus will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Titus the first chapter, Paul says that God who cannot lie has promised eternal life. So there are many scriptures that we could look to that give us that hope. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that our hope in death is the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection that will occur at that time. So there certainly is the promise of an afterlife. It is the hope that God has given to us. Paul says further in 1 Timothy 2 that it's God's desire that everyone would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. So the Bible speaks consistently and often of that hope of life after death, which will come through the resurrection, which takes place at the time of Jesus Christ's return.
You know, something I know a lot of people are interested in, and ties in with what we're talking about here. If a person is unconscious after death, or sometimes it's called soul sleep, how do you explain near-death experiences where people claim to have died, had some contact with God, and returned into their physical bodies?
Well, that's an interesting experience, you know, that many have related, and many have feel that they have experienced. It has an appeal to us because of the mystery, you know, and the journey into the unknown, and then returning to tell other people about it. So there's it's kind of a fascination and an appeal to that kind of an experience. But the simple point is that kind of experience is exactly how it's described. That is a near-death experience. We've talked to some extent how that the Bible shows us that when a person dies, he does not have any consciousness. So a near-death experience, the only way to explain that or to understand it is that the mind is still alive. There's still some sense of awareness, even though it might be to some degree subconscious. The various elements of those kinds of experiences, some people say they see a light and they're kind of drawn toward it. Perhaps that's the result of the nervous system beginning to shut down as death approaches. But when we look at that kind of an experience in light of biblical teaching, I think we know what is not happening. It is not the soul trying to leave the body and move on to some other destination. It is, as I said, exactly what, as it's described, is a near-death experience.
What Happens After Death is a fascinating booklet that really does challenge the traditional Christian view of life after death from a biblical perspective. I would like to thank co-author Don Henson for joining us on the program today.
Thank you, Gary. It's been my pleasure.
You can get a free copy of What Happens After Death by calling this toll-free number, 1-800-966-9232. We've seen in this short overview that the Bible doesn't contain the concept of the immortal soul. The idea infiltrated into Western thought through Greek philosophy, but its origins are older than Athens. The concept of the immortal soul was instituted into man's thinking at the very beginning. God told the first humans, Adam and Eve, that if they sinned, they would die and return to the dust from where they were created. Satan, the embodiment of evil, who opposes the Creator God, told them that they wouldn't die. Is then death, which is the cessation of life, the final answer? Although mankind is physical, subject to death, the good news is that God promises a resurrection to eternal life to all those who repent and follow Jesus as the Messiah. This resurrection to immortality is going to take place when Christ returns to the earth. And what does he return to do? Obviously, one reason is to resurrect the saints. He also returns to establish God's kingdom on this earth. This is the goal of all Christians and the only hope for mankind. This also brings into question the common Christian teaching that the dead go to heaven to live with Jesus. The scriptures claim that Jesus is coming back to the earth to reign. Naturally, we want to know what the saints will be like in the resurrection. Will we have bodies? Will we be able to recognize loved ones? In 1 Corinthians 15, which is commonly called the resurrection chapter, because Paul gives many details God has revealed to him about the resurrection from the dead, and Paul says the difference between a physical body and a resurrected spiritual body is like the difference between the moon and the sun. One is comprised of inert physical dust. The other is made of vibrant energy. In verses 42 through 44, he writes, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power." Now notice this. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Eternal life is a reality, and it is more fantastic than what you've ever considered. You see, death doesn't have to be the final answer. Are you willing to start asking the right questions? Are you willing to seek God's will in your life? Even if that means having to change some of your cherished beliefs, having to change your lifestyle, having to change your attitudes and outlook on life. Why were you born? There is a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time, where we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For the good news, I'm Gary Petty.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? Or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Do we go to a place of everlasting reward, or eternal punishment? Will we ever see our deceased loved ones again? Is there somewhere you can go to find these answers? Yes, there is. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death? Find out the astonishing, true biblical teaching about life after death in our enlightening 64-page booklet. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. All material on this program is provided as a public service by the United Church of God, publishers of the Good News magazine. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.